This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Lisa, and to my right is Travis. And today we're going to be talking about flourishing. What does it look like to flourish? What does it look like to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? Kind of really trying to focus in on what does it mean to actually live in this world and be a Christian. You know, there is there's this idea of, you know, naturalism, like the world is all there is, matter is all that there is. And so people enjoy and they worship nature. And at some level, we should really enjoy nature. We should really enjoy the provisions of God. We should enjoy the creation that he designed and created and then placed us to have dominion over it. And so there's an amount of truth to that, right? Like we should enjoy that. But part of the problem with naturalism is that it says there's no God. Well, how did it all get created? You know, you could talk about C.S. Lewis in these things and what he says about this. It just doesn't make totally sense without some type of intelligent design, you know, those types of things. And then there is the great philosopher Plato. And Plato came up with this idea that there's the lower story or matter is not really that important. It's just a kind of an image or a mirror of what the upper story is. And I think he called it forms, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the forms are the ideals.
Yeah. And so there was this other thing that was there. And so, like, if you had a new car, that was great. But what he surmised, which he was correct in this, is all of this stuff at some point rust, it goes away, it breaks down, and there's something wrong with it, right?
Well, and even more than that, he likened it to shadows, right, on a wall, where sometimes the shadow that you see is the image of the thing, right? It actually is an alligator moving across, but sometimes it's just your hand. And so there was that problem for him also with the forms and what was happening,
was
you
he
know,
a big
on
shadow,
the ground.
Like yeah. Shadow entertainer?
Yeah, right. That's like how it was his side gig in Athens.
Yeah.
Kids' birthday parties and whatnot. Yeah.
He's like ventriloquism, shadows. Ah, I'll be a philosopher. It's about the same.
Clown school wasn't available.
Yeah. There's these kind of like two things, and both of them have reached into Christianity at some level, right? And so, like, you know, people will say, well, I'm closest to God when I'm sitting out in the woods. Well, you should feel closeness to God, but that's not God, and mm-hmm. It's not you're enjoying the creation and his invisible qualities, Romans 1, are on display there. But it isn't that connection to the spiritual portion of it. And then there is the people who maybe irk me more than those people, if I'm honest, they're like so spiritual and they have stained glass voices and steeple, you know, stained glass eyes and steeple throat. And there's like, you know, they're so like pious that they're of really no earthly good, because they think that this is our bodies are they're nothing really. I think it was Augustine who said that our bodies are a prison of the soul. But he was hugely influenced by Plato. And so these people are like, well, I don't get to enjoy this world or this creation or this thing.
Yeah, Augustine was he was as close to ascetic as you could be without being ascetic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so there was no enjoyment in this. And I don't think, you know, I don't think the scriptures indicate that. I think the old apostle Paul, man, he was on a mission and he did his thing. But there were times where he says, you know, I've learned to live with a little. I learned to live with a lot. He had things, you mm-hmm. know, he wasn't Jenny from the block, but he had things, right? Like he had stuff, and he knew a good chunk of meat, right? He knew the beauty of it. I think he knew the beauty of a good glass of wine. He tells Timmy, hey, have a little wine for your belly. It's not going so well over there. You know, so I mean, there are things that I think he enjoyed about this world. And yet, none of those things were outside of who Christ was for him. So that was the supreme thing. It never became an idol, or he found his happiness or his hope in those things. And I think that's where the material world comes in, right? Like, we go, oh, if I just won the $1.08 billion lottery, lucky person in California, or maybe unlucky, I don't really know. And if I just had that, then I would be happy. Well, I read this article this morning because I want to see who won, or a few days ago. And I read this thing, and it said, you know, this person won the thing. And then right under it, people are often unhappy when they win $1 billion. I was like, I got to see that, because that's what I want. I want to go, yeah, you know, I don't want to be unhappy. So, but I think that's when it becomes in the wrong place. And I think the opposite is true, too, where spirituality goes into this place where it's not so supposed to be. And we are never actually enjoying what God had created and what we were made to do. In you know, this is not my home, we'll say things like that. Well, we're not citizens of here. But the Bible does say that in a sense, it's not our home as Christians. You're not of the world, but it's talking about a mindset, an understanding, an ethos. It's actually not. No, you're an earthling. I'm an earthling.
This is your
we're
home.
Designed to be earthlings. And and guess what's going to happen in the end? If you read the whole Bible, which I've had of a few times, it tells you that you're coming back. There's going to be a new creation, a redemption of creation, a new heaven and a new earth. Well, what the heck do you need an earth for if you don't got earthlings? We're going to the earthling part, right? There's this tension that is in the scripture of how do we live in this thing.
There's also a tension, I would say, in our own understanding of what it means to enjoy things, right? To enjoy the earth. It's really hard to imagine enjoying when you are when your 9-to-5 turns into a, you know, 365, 24/7 kind of a situation. And I think that for some of us, enjoyment doesn't necessarily even, like, we can't even get to the thing to enjoy because we're so, our schedules are so packed with things that we think we need to do, which maybe Sabbath is a part of flourishing and enjoying being here. I'm not sure, but.
Yeah,
I think it is. You hit on something about that unhappiness component that you just touched on. And I think from the people, so I run in a little bit of the outdoorsy circle. And I have friends that are very much like, I'm the closest.
Like Howl at the Moon outdoor circle?
But like would sit in the camp of like, I am closest to God when I'm in the woods or on the trail or fishing on the lake or whatever. And the same, I think you can say the same thing, but the pendulum swung to the other side of it for, what'd you call them? Stained glass eyes and steeple throat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good type. And like, we can all find ourselves sliding into those camps, but there's a level of unhappiness that I think is common throughout that. Like, if you're one of the outdoor people, I'm so close to God when I'm outside, that's good because you are immersed in his creation, but usually there's some hurt or some wounds that came from dealing with people inside the church or something like that, church community, whatever, that they're like, yeah, I'm done with that. I know a lot of people like that. And the other side is like, well, everything outside is too evil and scary and it's bad. And if we are part of the world, including the creation of God's world that we were here to have dominion over and enjoy, like, then bad things are going to happen. So it's an uncomfortable unhappiness, sense of fear almost.
Yeah, I think that, you know, part of it is there's this tension, but there's also this reality of they're distinct, right? Like, God is distinct. He is different than any other. He is different than all of creation. He is not finite. He's infinite. And he is different than everything. And he is spiritual and good and all of those things. And then everything in creation lives in this, the other. It's finite. It's temporal. It's changeable. And so there's this weird tension that we live in the reality of both of those things, which I don't think it's the way it's supposed to be, because I think that's what sin entered in and broke this thing down. We were supposed to live in the enjoyment of God and his creation for all of eternity, and someday we will. But we know that there's something wrong with the world in which we live. And so there's some ways to go about things that we chase the matter, we chase the stuff, we chase the creation. And if I just get this, then, or we chase the spiritual, if I just have this. And if you read the biblical story, the one story, like the Bible isn't meant, it has some really great things on like parenting and finances and all of those types of things. But in the reality of it, it's this one story of God who creates, we have a fall, and then the rest of it is all about redemption. And then finally, consummation. And those are the four parts of the grand story of the scripture. And if we miss those things and the tension between those things, that God is redeeming, God will redeem the creation and the world, and he does this through the person of Jesus Christ, I think we miss out on what it really means to be human, where the spiritual and the physical join together in a beautiful relationship.
Yeah, I was thinking about that joining and the word flourishing. And that's a really interesting word choice. And I was curious why you began, like, why it is that we started with flourishing. And what does that mean to you, the physical and the spiritual joining together and flourishing? When I think about flourishing, it conjures up the idea of actually of nature, right? Of gardening and cultivating and growth and blossoming and this idea that there's a sort of mutual growth. And so I was just curious, like, what do you mean when you say flourishing and those two things together?
So
doing that,
the rabbis would talk about shalom, which is the Hebrew word. We would say peace, but it's actually more than that. It's flourishing. It's living. It's enjoying. It's soaking it all in. It's being connected to the Creator and the creation, all in one kind of big conglomerate. And there is this connection point. And so when I say flourishing, it's moving back to this relationship with God and his creation and doing the jobs that we're meant to do. Like, I think I have the greatest job ever in the world. I get to look at the scripture and then go, okay, God, I'm going to tell it the best way I know how. How do we apply this to it? I think it's the greatest job ever. And I don't know if everyone can do my job, but there are other people that I think can flourish and be a plumber. I probably shouldn't be a plumber. That is not where I flourish. I would be horrible at that. There would be water in your basement. I would tell you I could do it because I think I can figure out most things, and which I can't. And it would be bad, right? But there are people, like, I think it's like whatever you do it to the glory of God. You do it in that flourishing. I think that's what the Apostle Paul is saying, is that every endeavor is something that we can connect to and bring glory to God. I also think in Ecclesiastes, Solomon is talking about this. And if you're just working and you're just trying to have dominion over creation, it's all meaningless. And the reason it's meaningless is because there's death, because there's brokenness. And he says the only way that we have value, he comes to the end of his kind of rant in Ecclesiastes. And he says, basically, the conclusion of the matter is that you matter because God says you matter. Your value is connected in him. And your life ultimately that matters only because God says it does. And there is this, he says, you know, follow God's commands, walk with him, be connected to him. And so that's a really actually freeing idea, because it, like, a lot of things don't matter so much, right? Like, does it really matter that I vacuumed or didn't vacuum the house today? I don't think it probably matters. And yet it matters at the same time, like, because we're going to be asked to give an account. And it's not just like, well, you were spiritual in this moment and you were not spiritual in that moment. No, it's all things that you're going to give an account for. And so it's the small things, and it's kind of scary to think about it, that, and the big things. And so my job is not more significant than a plumber, nor is a plumber's job more significant than my job. And it's an incredible, incredible thing to go flourish where you're at, bloom where you're planted. And when you do this, it has to be, the only way this happens is when the spiritual and the physical match up and you're enjoying the physical that God created and you're enjoying the creator at the same time. So that's a really long answer to your question.
No, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there are just like when you think about your profession and the kinds of things that you choose, it's exhilarating to find yourself in a job where you know that God crafted you in such a way to do the thing that you're doing. There isn't really anything better than that.
And that reminds me of, I think it's John 10:10, where Jesus talks about the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, I came to give you life and life to the full. And we all of humanity has a God-shaped hole in our hearts. And that, Lisa, your comment made me think of, I just talked about this with our youth, Tom Brady, after he won like Super Bowl number 3 or 4, had Super Bowl MVP, a regular season MVP, and it was like he had an interview on 60 Minutes or with People Magazine or something, and like, man, you are the greatest quarterback, or you're on track for that. You've got the wife, you've got the money, you've got the fame, the endorsements. He's like, what's next for you? And he's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I've hit the pinnacle of my career professionally. I feel like I've gotten all the accolades and the things that you can get, but it just feels like there's still more. There's something that's missing. And he's not, I'm going to take go out on a limb and take a shot, but he's missing that spiritual component. He's flourishing in the world sense, but he's missing that flourishing in the spiritual sense.
What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Mm-hmm. Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Jesus said that in Matthew. And I think that's like all of creation matters. All of it has some intrinsic value because it comes from the Creator God. But some things matter more. And the only way back to recap and reconnect to the spiritual is through the person of Jesus Christ. And so, man, I want my kids to eat healthy. I want them to, I hope they enjoy healthy living all their lives. They exercise, they get good jobs that they enjoy. They have, you know, they have toys that dad can come over and play with and that are fun and all of those things. I hope that's true for them. But my biggest prayer and concern is, man, they love Jesus, because I know that without that, there's no flourishing. There's stuff that you're going to place your hope in, but there isn't flourishing. And I want them to flourish. I want them to have all that God has for them in this life. And I want them to understand, and this is one of the things that I want my kids to know, that when you say yes to Jesus, eternal life starts now. It's not when you get to heaven. It's not over here. That's not what John 3:16 says. It's a continuation of this flourishing that's already taking place now, and you can have it now. That's what excites me up and gets me up in the morning, is to help people to see that matter matters, your jobs matter, but your spiritual side also matters. And when those things come together, it makes for, man, you can enjoy this world in a real way, because you are human, you're an earthling.
Well, yeah, I think that tonight we have the women's gathering, and I'm talking about Numbers 11, which is the story of the Israelites complaining. But I'm ending with the passage that we started this podcast with in Romans, and sort of going to the idea, really thinking about gratitude. And there is this, God has made himself known in creation. Since the beginning of time, he's there. Mm-hmm. And that passage also calls us to a gratitude. It's ingratitude that leads us to unbelief. Or unbelief leads us to ingratitude, whatever you want to call it. But what Travis said is really interesting to me, that we get so caught up in the things that we don't perhaps enjoy, that we're not seeing God where we are, that he is here, and we're not, as I think about it, the idea that our thankfulness, our enjoyment of the world is perhaps evidenced in our thankfulness, which is then grounded in reality.
Mm, yeah, that's good.
Right? Like reality is that God is here. Reality is that God has done amazing things for us, that he has made us to do and live and enjoy here on earth right now.
Yep.
And that's reality. And we can be thankful for that. But when it's just even a slight turn towards complaining and negativity, it gets us on the track where we don't see reality and we become less thankful and less enjoy, and we find less enjoyment in what God has done and made.
I really enjoy this one little old lady in our church, and you know, she, when I watch her, she just has a picture of gratitude, what you're talking about, and she enjoys like the small things of this world. Like she's always knitting and always doing stuff, and she makes beautiful things out of this thing. And she is just, man, she loves God, loves Jesus, loves his word, all of those things, but she also enjoys like these small things. And she is not a person of means, but she enjoys like a garden. She gets so excited about like that there's growth and there's, and I'm like, man, I don't slow down enough to go, man, that's good.
Yeah.
Man, that's wonderful. To have a tomato that you pick off, put some mozzarella on there with a little balsamic vinegar reduction sauce, man, that is a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like to enjoy those things and not just consume those things. And I think when matter becomes the object of our heart, we just become consumers instead of enjoyers of what God has given us.
Well, and we're not really full-bodied people then, right, too, because God made us, we have these bodies here and now, yeah, which includes all of the senses. And so, yep, we're in some ways rejecting who we are in not stopping, yeah, and smelling the roses, which is a silly metaphor, but yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But I think you can have gratitude in the small things.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be just these big, huge things. I think, you know, I was thinking about like some of my friends are really into, really helping people in different countries, water sources, those types of things. And I was meeting with one of them. I was having lunch with one of them, and they were talking about this this well that they were digging in this village. And I said, well, that's really cool. How does it get to the other parts of their lives? And I was just asking a question, like, what's their kind of protocol in this thing? Because it's really important. You know, he's like, it's so exciting when that water comes up out of that well for the first time and the people are just there. I love it. I enjoy giving that to him. And I thought, man, that is really cool that he enjoys that. But there is also this other thing. Like, yes, they need water and that is awesome. But man, what about the living water? And I didn't ask that question. We talked a little bit more on how they present the gospel and help them to understand who Jesus is in the living water. And he started to talk about that part of it. But I thought, man, that's really, like, yes, the water is awesome, but man, we really want them to know who Jesus is, because it's both. It's those, that connection to the spiritual and the physical always has to be there. You see Jesus all the time saying things like that. He's with the woman in Samaria and, you know, like, how is this possible that you're going to give me this water that it, you know, never stops? You know, how does this work? What does this look like? And it's really him going, man, yes, you're physical. Yes, you need like H2O water, but you also need the water and the spiritual water that comes from me. And when we combine those things, that's when we flourish. That is good news you can use.
Thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you enjoyed the episode or have some topics that you'd like us to cover, first of all, you can check us out at evangelup.org. and find our latest podcast episodes there. You can search Evangel Houghton on your podcast device and find those as well. And for questions, you can shoot those over to Travis at evangelup.org.